This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
The defense next calls by deposition Maya Kowalski. The first deposition is August 28, 2020, and the second is March 12, 2022. And I believe they'll run consecutively.
I'm sorry?
They should run consecutively. They're two different depositions. The first is, I think it displays on the screen, runner, but the first is August 28th, 2020, and the second is March 12th, 2022.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
Good morning, Maya. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
And so you, PE was one of your electives in eighth grade?
Yeah.
Did you pick PE this time, or was it picked for you, for lack of a better term?
I picked PE.
And what kind of activities were you participating in PE class in eighth grade?
Eighth grade, I was participating in everything that all the other students were. So football, any type of sport we did, all the games, and so on.
That's what I was getting at. So you don't recall having any flare-ups in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade?
Correct, no.
Have you had a flare-up since you graduated from 8th grade and you're getting ready to head into high school?
No.
So why don't you do me a favor and walk me through a typical day in Maya Kowalski's life over this summer, let's say. Starting with your 4:30 a.m. workout regimen, walk me through your workouts, what you do for hobbies, who you play with, and all the way through to when you go to bed at night.
I wake up at 4:30. I immediately go on my walk, which lasts normally 1 hour and a, like an hour and a half to up to an hour and 45 minutes. It just depends on the day. I come inside, I set out my yoga mat, and I do some yoga. After I finish my yoga, I take a shower, get ready for the day, eat breakfast, and that's when my day really begins. So I will check my email, take out my dog, I will do the dishes, do the laundry, put away dishes, put away laundry. I will make myself lunch. I will practice piano for an hour. I try to do that every single day just to get in a routine. I really enjoy reading. That's something I love to do. So anytime I have left over after piano, I like to just relax a little bit. And throughout the day, I'll take out my dog. Obviously, I don't just take her out once, but she doesn't have a schedule in terms of when she has to use the bathroom. And I start winding down at 5 o'clock. I have dinner with my family and I pray, read some more. And I ultimately go to bed around, I start getting ready around 7, which sounds early, but I wake up at 4:30. So I try to get enough sleep, but I don't sleep very well. And I fall asleep 8:30, 9.
So it seems like piano, if you had to rank your hobbies and interests outside of school, is piano right near the top?
Oh, yes. Piano is number one.
In terms of your workouts, I know you said you did a little bit of yoga. Do you do the yoga after the workouts? Are those kind of two separate workouts, or is yoga part of your 4:30 a.m. workout regimen?
They're two separate workouts.
Okay. Walk me through what you do when you work out at 4:30. I just want to get an idea of the type of exercises you're doing, the duration, that kind of thing.
Yes. So I simply go around this circle here because we live in a community that is circular. I go around that 6 times, so that's 5.5 miles. And I'll do some cardio, so running. I could do some high-intensity interval training, so 20 seconds of running, 10 seconds of rest, so on and so forth for however long. And then I mix that in with some power walking because, obviously, first thing, I cannot run around the circle. I just can't do that at 4:30. So the first 3 laps, I would say, are just me walking and warming up my muscles.
Okay. And what's the, when you said you do power walking, what is that?
Power walking, just faster paced walking.
Okay. Do you ever do any weight training in the morning?
I used to, but I switched halfway in the summer. So I used to do very intense cardio, and I absolutely love cardio, but now just waking up even earlier than I was before, it's easier for my body to adjust in the morning by walking first, then implementing cardio.
What about your current medications? I saw from Dr. Wassener's records that Claritin and Flonase are your only two medications you're currently taking. Is that accurate, or are you taking additional medications?
That's accurate. I'm just taking the Flonase as needed and Claritin as well, just as needed.
Is it fair to say you haven't had any ketamine or narcotic medication since you were discharged from Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital in January of 2017?
Yes, I haven't.
You haven't?
I have not, yeah.
Any other doctors that you're seeing outside of Dr. Wassener or a primary care doctor that works with Dr. Wassener?
I don't think so, no.
Are you seeing a doctor that specializes in pain or CRPS currently?
No.
Do you know the last time you met with a physician who was a pain doctor?
I can't tell you. Sorry, no.
Have you had any flare-ups of your RSD or CRPS in, let's say, 2018?
I don't think I did, no.
What about 2019?
No.
Brief deposition of Maya Kowalski, March 12, 2022.
What year?
Sorry, March 12, 2022.
Ms. Kowalski, would you be so kind as to raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are you in any pain right now?
Right now, I'm fine.
Are you on any medicine right now?
I have this one pill, and it's for sleeping. I take Claritin, but I can't think of anything else right now, no, other than my acne medication.
You play the piano?
Yes.
So activities, it sounds like you're still doing ice skating?
Correct.
Okay. Any other physical activities that you do?
No, I mean, I work out, but no other sports.
Okay. So working out is different for everybody. What kind of things do you do when you work out?
It just depends how I'm feeling that day. I mean, sometimes I lift weights. I like cardio more than anything. Lifting weights isn't really my thing, but I do it periodically. I swim. I like to go on bike rides, and I really like walking.
Fair to say that you're doing better now from a pain standpoint than you were in 2015.
Yeah.
Okay. And is it fair to say that you're doing better from a pain standpoint than you were in 2016?
Yeah.
Your Honor, now we would like to publish what's in evidence, a photograph that's a defense exhibit 3138-2.
Okay.
And we'll publish what's in evidence, defense 3138-5. And will publish what's in evidence 3138-7. And we will publish what's in evidence 3404-1. And we will publish what's in evidence as 3404-2. And these will be in evidence. And then, Your Honor, if we may take a short break at this time, and then we'll come back.
Well, I think it's time for our morning break. Okay. Members of the jury, this is probably going to be closer to a 15-minute break. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All rise.
Okay, the jury's out of our presence. Let's just take a moment before we take our break. So over the break, you're going to be looking, the defense is going to be looking at and verifying that there's no other exhibits that need to come in. Is that correct?
Yes, I need to get with the clerks to make sure what I think is in. Make sure we're on the same page on that. I also had a question about one of the plaintiff's exhibits, which I don't think is in. And I think they listed as in, and I want to clarify that.
Okay. And then, assuming everything is in, when we come back from the break, you're resting, and we're going to go into the plaintiff's rebuttal.
That's correct.
Just so everybody's aware, the shot clock this morning, the plaintiffs used 35 minutes. The defense used an hour 10 minutes. That means the plaintiffs are at a cumulative total of 60 hours, and the defense is at the cumulative of 42 hours, 30 minutes. As I told the plaintiffs, you're going to be limited to 2.5 hours. The extra hour that you got for cross-examination does not carry over into rebuttal.
Understood.
Can we have the lineup for rebuttal just to confirm, you know, who's being called by the plaintiffs, please?
Oh, and one other thing. Dr. Chopra came in while Maya Kowalski's video depo was being played. I didn't have an ability to put him in because into the waiting room. Because
he's on Zoom.
He's on Zoom. Okay, so Dr. Chopra, we're going to be taking a break here in a few minutes, but everyone please be aware Dr. Chopra is now with us via Zoom.
Could we have the lineup and who's being called and the order?
I actually absolutely no idea about the order. I, of course, got Jack, Maya, Joe Corcoran, Pradeep Chopra, and Alina Kushner. And we have, I need to talk to the court about this. I have a less than 2-minute snippet from the video that Dr. Kirkpatrick took on his visit in 2023. The court has played that out.
Let's do this. Let's go on our break. Let's let the defense verify with the clerk. The issue with the Dr. Kirkpatrick video we can do after lunch. We can take that issue up after lunch, but I want to keep us moving.
I hear you. On that note, who's first, though, just so we can...
Who are you going to call first?
Hadn't thought about it. Probably, maybe we should call Dr. Chopra first since he's on Zoom, you think?
Okay,
whatever.
So
we just want to know.
Dr. Chopra, be aware that we're going to take a good 10-15 minute break, but it sounds like you might be first up when we come back. Okay, we'll be in recess. Let's try to come back at 11:15. And let's also make sure that the clerks also get an opportunity to use the restroom as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All rise. Closing recess.
Everyone ready to go at this point?
Well,
everyone feel free to sit down.
A couple of questions on exhibits.
Sure.
I will say there's some that we need to make sure the redacted ones and things of that sort. I don't think we have to deal with that at this moment, but we do have one that's there's one plaintiff exhibit that we have that was not admitted. The clerk is saying it's a little confusing. They have it as admitted and then also just for ID. So we can talk about that later if you want. But there's one exhibit that the defense needs to have admitted that I thought was before we rest. That is 3180.
And is it, just bring it up, please?
Yeah, sorry. I haven't even had a chance to talk to you. There's two pages. I think what happened, Judge, is that the plaintiff put this in under a different number, but we want to make sure it's in, so we're just going to put it in as well.
Sorry.
Sorry, no. I want to get your honor time to review it.
Well, are you agreeing or disagreeing?
We're not agreeing.
Okay, then let me finish reading.
I thought they had put it in, but okay.
Judge, but in the best
of
caution, we wanted to
admit
it as well
because
you couldn't find the exhibit number that went to
the plaintiff. You
mean
the shortest of emails?
No, it's not, Judge. Plaintiff's exhibit number that matches this, Judge. That's already been admitted.
Well, what's the plaintiff's number and then the clerk?
Yeah, 2408, 1738 to 1739.
Okay, is it redacted or not unredacted?
No. We could bring that up, Judge, just to clarify. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So if it's already in, then we don't need to worry about it again, right?
Right. Thank you.
Well, Your Honor, I don't know. I think there's some confusion about when this exhibit came in, and I think the court would agree that this is Chapter 39 loaded. So how it came in, when it came in, I'm thinking we're certain of that.
I'm certain
of it. We need redactions to this. Or it's going to put all the Chapter 39 issues in front of the jury.
I'm not sure we were clear on exactly what rulings we had when something like this came in, because we put a bunch of stuff in at the start.
I'm sure about this, Your Honor. They moved it in evidence in their case, and we didn't object to it.
It's a clawback.
Well, it's been shown to the jury through at least three different witnesses.
That's true.
I cross-examined Mr. Kowalski on it, specifically the part about that his wife wanted to take Maya AMA. That was a lie. We cross-examined Mr. Kowalski on the statement about Dr. Smith being with CPT. Mr. Hunter showed it to Dr. Sy-Smith. This has been in evidence since, I think, day one or two of the trial, that both sides have relied on it. So they moved in evidence, we didn't object.
Mr. Whiting, at this time, if it's in evidence and it's been used, I don't see what we can do at this point.
We request to redact it appropriately based on the court's careful rulings over the previous 8 weeks to keep Chapter 39 issues away from the jury. I mean, Ms. Kowalski here is talking directly about basis for reporting. Well, so it's going to put all that right in front of the jury.
Let me just ask both sides.
Sure.
We maybe will agree with the redaction they're asking for, Judge. I don't know if they can be precise as to what they want redacted. Maybe we'll agree.
Well, why don't we just go with what you want redacted? Let's start that way.
May I suggest that, well, I suppose maybe this is being raised now because they want to use it on cross-examination this afternoon.
I don't.
No.
Okay, so can I suggest that we're not going to use it with any of our witnesses in rebuttal? Can we take it up at the end of the day as to what's going to go back to the jury?
If both sides agree that we can potentially alter this document if necessary, and no one's waiving anything by the defense resting, then I think we'll be fine.
Okay.
Yep.
What's next?
Okay. Judge, I don't know if we want to address this now. I have a question about one of the exhibits that I don't think is in the plaintiff saying is in on their list, but we could do that later.
We've got to get them in because
okay.
They're going to have to rest
so,
today, too.
Judge, I have, can you bring up 2123, please, Clay? Page 723. I have the judge sustained our objection, and the clerk is not, is it fair to say, not clear on whether or not it was in or not.
Whatever, pull up whatever it is.
Okay. 2123, page 723. No, that's not it. That's not the one I was thinking of. I think that is in. I take it back. I know that one's in.
Yeah, I've seen this one before. I think this
one's
in.
Yeah, I was thinking of a different one, Judge. My apologies.
This has been shown to witnesses, too.
Yeah, no, my apologies. I think that's it, Judge, other than having to deal with making sure we have the right one with the clerks with respect to redactions. I don't think we have any other. Let me just confirm real quick with the defense team. I think that we're good to go.
So when I bring the jury back in, you're able to rest?
Mr. Hunter will announce that, yes.
And who's going to be our first witness? It's Dr. Chopra?
Dr. Chopra.
Okay.
And then before Jack Kowalski's testimony, we have one point, I'm afraid, though it may take some time, and that is about damages to the fraudulent billing part.
Can we do Dr. Chopra and then go to lunch?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm trying to get Dr. Chopra's attention. I'm going to swear him in. If I could ever get Dr. Chopra to...
I can text him if you want to call.
Why don't you text him and say that we're waiting on him? He's going to have to click on his side to start the video and unmute.
Hey, Dr. Chopra, we're ready to go, and you're going to have to do something
on his computer. He's going to have to push the button to turn his camera on.
You got to push the button on your computer to turn your camera on. It should be up there.
Remind me what state he's in.
He's in wherever Brown is, which is Rhode Island, I believe.
Rhode Island. Hey, Dr. Chopra, this is Judge Carroll. Can you hear me okay? Doctor, can you hear me okay? Doctor, can you hear me?
Looks like a mute on.
He's muted.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
I
feel like I'm a cell phone commercial. Can you hear me now?
Hi.
Okay, there you go.
This is Judge Carroll, Dr. Chopra. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you and see you very well. Long time no see.
Yes, thankfully you didn't turn to stone when you looked at me. Now, are you still in Rhode Island?
Yes, I am in Rhode Island.
Remember, I need my powers only go to the edge of the state of Florida, and I need your permission to swear you in. And by doing that, you agree that if there was ever any perjury action or enforcement action, you agree to jurisdiction here in Sarasota County, Florida. Do you agree that I can swear you in under those conditions?
Yes, you can. Yes, you please.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you give is the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm going to bring in the jury. And the first thing we're going to do is ask the defense to rest, and then we'll go straight to you, Dr. Chopra.
No problem.
I want to confirm while you were away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation and received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
And no one from the media, you saw no media snippets on this?
No.
And no one approached you. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mr. Hunter.
Subject to the matters discussed, Your Honor, the defense rests at this time.
Okay. Mr. Anderson, can you please call your first witness in rebuttal?
Dr. Pradeep Chopra.
And Mr. Reyes, are you going to be able to put the Zoom feed up so everyone can see it? And members of the jury, outside of your presence, I have already administered the oath to Dr. Chopra. He will be testifying under oath. Mr. Anderson, you have the floor.
Good morning, Dr. Chopra.
Good morning.
I think the jury remembers you, but for the record, you are a board-certified anesthesiologist and pain management physician, a professor at Brown University Medical School. Am I correct in that?
Yes, I am.
And so I wanted to ask you about some of the matters that came out in the defense case. One of them was an assertion by Dr. Crane that there is no such thing as whole body CRPS. Can you answer the question of whether you agree or disagree with that? And if you disagree, why?
Your Honor, we object. This is not true rebuttal.
Okay. Overruled on that question. You can answer.
So I disagree that you can have CRPS in the...
I apologize, sir. We also object in commenting on another witness's testimony.
Okay. You can answer, Dr. Chopra.
Okay. So, yes, a person can have a full body CRPS. In fact, full body CRPS is common, and it's basic science. I mean, it's not rocket science. I have a nerve in my arms. I have a nerve in my legs. I also have nerves in my torso. I have nerves in my face. And, you know, they are the same nerves that connect to the same brain. So it's not like the brain chooses to have CRPS in the limbs only and not in the torso. And we've seen this a lot of times. In fact, untreated CRPS or CRPS not treated well, let's say in the right arm, will eventually spread to the whole body. And I mean, there are not rare cases. There are many, many cases with full body CRPS.
And then factually, have you had the opportunity to refer cases of whole body CRPS back and forth with Dr. Crane over the years?
Yes, actually, we do. So there are, like, you know, patients come from all over the world to see me, all over the country too. And so if there is somebody that comes from the West Coast, I will refer the patient to Dr. Elliot Crane for this. And a lot of them are full body CRPS cases.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about the testimony here about withdrawal and dependency. I've advised you that during the course of the defense's case, there was some testimony by a Dr. Levy to the effect that ketamine has withdrawal and dependency. Can you tell the jury, A, whether you agree or disagree with that? And if you disagree, what factors you may not have discussed initially, or you can remind us of, that support your position?
Renew the objection about what witness commenting on the testimony.
Go ahead.
Hang on,
I'm sorry, Judge.
I also renew the objection, but this was a subject. It's not rebuttal. It was a subject of his testimony previously.
On this issue, I agree with Mr. Shapiro. This was discussed during your case in chief.
As to the in terms of then the treatments with ketamine, is ketamine now approved as an orphan drug?
Objection again, not true rebuttal.
No, yes, it is.
Okay, I'm overruling that one. You can answer that one.
Yes, ketamine. I believe in 2019, if I'm not mistaken, the U.S. The FDA approved ketamine as an orphan drug for the treatment of CRPS. Just to clarify, an orphan drug is a drug, you know, when there's a disease that's not common, so they can't get enough patients, the FDA makes a little concession and says, all right, we don't need 1,000 patients to do the study. We can do it with 20 patients. And so it has been approved for the treatment of CRPS.
Understood. And in terms of the additional uses and it's been approved of, does that also include chronic depression and other psychological factors?
So far, it's been approved for treatment of what's called treatment-resistant depression, which means that depression which has not responded to any treatment. So this is like the last measure, and it has been approved. It's a nasal form of ketamine that you can buy it at the pharmacy. But most psychiatrists are using it as an IV form to treat depression. And even they're also looking at PTSD from the war veterans. They're trying to look at if it helped that.
I moved to have Strunk. You? It's outside the scope of his expertise, talking about psychiatry.
Just asking him.
Overruled that objection.
And, doctor, do you keep up then with the statistics on the use of ketamine since it has been approved in 2019 as an orphan drug, so that you can testify about whether there have been any cases reported with this increased use of any type of withdrawal effects?
Objection bolstering, also outside the scope, foundation.
Sustained.
I think I'm done, Judge. Give me one moment. I want to check with Mr. Whitney on that. I advised you of this as well, but Dr. Crane testified that two-thirds of pediatric patients will relapse. What is your position on that?
Objection, mischaracterization. Again, remove the objection by commenting on another basis. Customer.
Yeah, let's try to not reference back to a specific.
All right. Do you have an opinion about any percentages of pediatric patients that relapse back to CRPS?
Okay, so I need to clarify that a little bit.
Okay.
CRPS is a lifelong condition. Whether you get it at the age of 10 or whether you get it at the age of 20, it's going to last you for the rest of your life. At best, I mean, let's say, I mean, really at best, it may wax and wane. So you may have more good days than bad days, but they're all pretty bad days in general. And it never goes away. There's no relapsing. This is, you have it, you're done.
Got it. I think that's all I have, Judge. We can't get into some of the withdrawal factors. I think that's a new one.
Okay, so you're tendering the witness?
I'm tendering the witness subject to court's ruling.
Mr. Shapiro.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Dr. Chopra. Just a couple
good
questions.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Just a couple questions. You said it takes time for whole body CRPS to spread. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes.
Is that months, typically?
No, there's no such data or information. And it's, you know, you've got to understand the human body, everybody's body is different. And, you know, somebody may get CRPS in their left hand and it'll stay in their left hand for 20 years. But somebody may get CRPS in their left hand and very rapidly become a whole body. So there's no... no number that we have, or we don't have any. There's so little we know about this condition.
So, but in either way, from your experience, it does take some time to spread, true? You were asked about relapse and patients who can relapse down the road. Have you seen any medical records suggesting?
I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah. I apologize. Can you hear me, Dr. Chopra? No?
Sir, can you hear us okay?
He's frozen. I think he's frozen.
Interesting. It's probably his internet connection.
We lost him completely.
Just have him reconnect. These things happen. Of course, it always happens right before lunch. And you were able, Mr. Anderson is, why don't you call him and see if he's having problems, and if we've lost the video feed, maybe we can just do it by phone.
Yes, sir. He said there are technical people who are working on it. I'll try.
So, Judge, how do we go about this?
Well, you can either give me his telephone number and I can call here.
The court's going to call you.
Probably the easiest way, or you're going to have to put your cell phone right on the lectern next to Mr. Shapiro. He says he only has two questions.
Let's not do that.
Okay.
All right, the court's going to call you in a moment.
Well, I need a telephone number. Just write his telephone number. Don't say it out loud. Oh, goodness.
You can take a number off.
It's the one that says mobile?
I believe so.
Okay. See if I did this right.
Open, Chopra.
Dr. Chopra, this is Judge Carroll. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Judge, I can hear you very well.
Okay, we're just going to proceed because we're a little bit tight on time.
I know.
Mr. Shapiro is just going to start asking you questions, okay?
Sure, no problem.
Dr. Chopra, since we last spoke, it sounds like you did speak with Mr. Anderson about the questions he was going to ask you. Is that fair?
I'm sorry, could you rephrase that question?
You spoke with Mr. Anderson about the questions he was going to ask you in front of this jury. Is that true?
No, that's not true.
You had no idea what he was going to ask you before he called you?
No, no.
So let me ask you about, since we've spoken last, have you applied for any hospital privileges?
Hospital privileges? No, I don't want hospital privileges.
You haven't had hospital privileges in over 20 years. Is that still true?
It's true, yeah. I don't want them.
And you did not get your medical degree from Harvard, did you, sir?
Objection, Your Honor. This is well beyond.
Sustained.
Okay. That's all I have then.
Okay. Any follow-up, Mr. Anderson?
No, Your Honor.
Now, hold on a second, Dr. Chopra. Members of the jury, does anyone from the jury have a question? Okay, I've got a question or two coming from the jury, so. Okay. So, but no question to the witness. Am I correct, Mr. Shapiro, Mr. Anderson, members of the jury, that there's no more questions for Dr. Chopra? Okay. So, Dr. Chopra, that completes your testimony. Thank you for being with us today, both by video and by telephone.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm going to hang up now.
Okay.
There we go. And I was able to use the telephone. Is your next witness short, or is this where we're breaking for lunch?
I think I can do Ms. Kushner.
We need to have a discussion about that.
Okay, let's go ahead and take lunch. We're going to try to only take an hour and 15 minutes, so let's have them back at 1:15. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All right, sure as excellent.
The jury is out of our presence. Everyone, please be seated. What's the issue with this next witness?
Your Honor, we would simply, there's two things. First of all, we would renew our objection to this witness testifying about a collateral outside matter that we believe violates what we spoke of before, as well as 403. We're hamstrung, to be specific, in cross-examining this witness, because if we do, we're going to inevitably bring in a collateral lawsuit against both Johns Hopkins and Sally Smith.
As to whether she was wearing a lab coat and whether she introduced herself?
No, sir. It's going, if I ask her if she has any, if I ask her if she has a collateral lawsuit, or if I ask her if she's represented by Mr. Anderson, then the contention will be made that I'm opening the door to the idea that she's also suing Dr. Sally Smith. Dr. Sally Smith misrepresented or improperly caused her prosecution or dependency action, and the entire matter of the Kushner claim against Dr. Smith, a number of my employees, our employees, and Johns Hopkins. So it bringing this up, permitting them to go into this, is almost a free shot, because I can't cross-examine her about potential motive and potential interest in the outcome of this case, or the extent to which it may benefit her. Now, that's our objection to it, Judge. Now, I think if you're going to permit it, then the least I should be able to do is to cross-examine her on a limited basis regarding her representation by Mr. Anderson and the benefit that may be inuring to her without being held to have opened the door and permit the litigation of Kushner versus Johns Hopkins in this courtroom.
What benefit? I feel like I've been insulted here. It is unethical to promise a witness in any way, shape, or form any compensation. I certainly did not. Her case is on appeal before the First District Court of Appeals. I have not talked to this lady for probably a year and a half. And it was a NECA claim, Judge. So I filed a companion case where they're defending, which has been stayed through the entire matter because, again, the focus was on NECA. It was a backup in case the NECA court determined that it wasn't neurologically damaging to the extent necessary. That's the issue on the first. So I have not talked to her until I called her to ask her the question, I think about 3 days ago, 4 days ago. And the only thing, the only question I think is, have I represented you or am I representing you? I still don't see, however, the relevance of that, because in this instance, I'm actually dealing with her husband for most of it. Technically, yeah, I am, but it's for the child.
Well, here are my thoughts, and then we can talk further. As respect to the request to reconsider, I'm denying that. Mr. Hunter brings out a, how are we going to address the issue, and isn't really the question, and it's Ms.
Kushner,
yeah. That's going to
Kushner.
Ms. Kushner, does she have a claim against, whether it's Dr. Smith or the hospital or whomever, does she have a claim that would show that she might have some sort of bias or motive here, which is, I think, what that defense is wanting to get into. And that, say, asking it whether she has a claim, that's fine. And then I guess you can ask if she has any sort of financial outcome in the Kowalski case, which I suspect the answer is no. Because I don't see how, well, regardless of what happens in the Kowalski case, I don't see how that impacts one way or the other her claim if, assuming that NICA, there isn't some sort of NICA issue that would preclude the other suit, how this testimony and this outcome by this jury, and this jury here in the Kowalski case, how that would have anything to do with a different case.
The suggestion, Your Honor, is that the testimony given here is reciprocal or may become reciprocal. Because if the Kushner case goes forward, and we defend it, I suspect that someday either I or someone else representing Johns Hopkins will be standing in a courtroom like this one, and we will be being told that on the witness list appears someone named Kowalski with this same idea going on. Now,
how about the question, have you been promised anything for your testimony here today? Does that address the issue?
It partially does, Judge. But it's foreclosing the type of cross-examination that I think you would like to pursue, or that counsel would like to pursue if the situation were reversed.
I'm not pursuing any cross-examination.
Well, I understand that, but
I mean, you want to get in the concept of bias and motive. I think that that's allowed and appropriate. So why can't we ask her if she's made a claim against Dr. Smith or the hospital or both, and, you know, is she represented by counsel?
Judge, if I ask her about a claim against Dr. Smith or against Johns Hopkins, then I'm walking in to a matter of an argument that we were engaged in some kind of pattern of activity, and I'm implicitly asking them to go ahead and argue that there are other cases out there. This isn't isolated. We're not looking at this in a vacuum. That there's some kind of pattern and practice that they're going to implicitly present to the jury. That is highly prejudicial. That's exactly the 403 problem I'm talking about.
Well, Dr. Sally Smith testified the way she did, and so this testimony is appropriate rebuttal testimony on the issue of whether Sally Smith was, you know, wearing or not wearing some sort of regalia, lab coat or whatever, and how Dr. Smith introduces herself. Everyone knows she's the CPT medical director. I don't think it comes as a surprise that there's other cases where she's acted as the medical director of the CPT committee. I'm okay if you want to ask the question about whether this witness has any type of claim against the hospital. If you don't want to ask that question, that's fine too. But if you want to ask that question, that's fine. If you don't want to, that's fine too.
Well, the point here, Judge, is if I do, or if I ask if he's represented by counsel, is court then going to say that all the rest of the entire Kushner matter is fair game?
The answer is no. It is. If you want to ask about possible bias or motive, and you want to ask about whether she's got a claim, if she's been promised anything about testifying here today, if there's any sort of reciprocal agreement, if you want to ask those questions, fine. If you don't want to, that's fine too. Okay? Anything else before we take our lunch break?
We have a number of exhibits that we'd like to do that after the break.
Well, yes, and what I was going to say is that we come back early, that we come back here at 1 o'clock, which would give us 15 minutes. Is that going to be enough time, or do we need to come back even earlier?
I was just going to ask what the order is.
I know that I will be doing Jack Kowalski after that, and I think then we've got Dr. Corcoran, and then finally Maya Kowalski. And so I understand that Jerry's been dismissed for lunch, so she will not be going until after lunch. Sorry, I missed that.
No one else is going to testify until the jury comes back. My question is, what time do we come back? I am suggesting 1 o'clock, which would give us 15 minutes, but if we need more time prior to the jury coming back, I am doing everything I can to land this plane today as it relates to all evidence. So,
yes, sir.
We need to do that today.
I think the 15 minutes will be sufficient for exhibits.
And we will be back at 1 p.m. 1 p.m. We're in recess until 1 p.m.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.